Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
That understanding works for you, and so therefore it is absolutely right for you.
All beliefs have become only relatively true, and of course to the world, religion is just some personalized experience, not a divine revelation, and the church is catching the disease.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's another Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. Hey, I'm Jimmy Hicks in the studio. Of course, Todd and team out on campus again this week at the beautiful Kennesaw State University. As always, they're looking for or fishing for students to share Christ with, and it's a beautiful day today in the Atlanta area to go witnessing. So let's not waste a whole lot of time listening to me and send it out to the campus now with Todd on campus at Kennesaw State University.
You are looking at, what was it called, an informational what?
Information systems.
An information systems specialist. You work on computers, don't you, Matt?
That's right.
But the title is better.
The title's good.
It's a good title.
It's a good title.
All right, are you a math guy?
No.
What? I don't get it. Don't you have to be good at math to do information systems?
No.
Well, then educate me. What do you do on an information system that doesn't involve math?
You teach people how to use computers. That's it.
So you could help an idiot like me use my computer.
I could.
Because I'm just a complete knucklehead.
Okay.
Okay. The little arrow thingy. What is that called? The arrow thingy. You know that.
I call it the arrow thingy.
Apparently I too am an informational systems expert then. Okay. The arrow thingy, it got stuck on my page and it was actually moving the page around and I couldn't get out and I didn't know what to do. I had to call my children to help me.
Did they, I would tell you to turn the computer off and turn it back on.
Pretty much what I got from them. So they're computer information systems specialists too. Okay. All right.
Yeah,
okay. All right. So Matt, where are you from?
Marietta, Georgia.
So you are in the Bible Belt.
Yeah.
Did you grow up a Bible Belter?
What does that mean? Does that mean like going to church every Sunday and that kind of stuff? Yeah. No, we're like church on Christmas Eve. Easter kind of people.
C&E Christians.
Yeah. There you go. Right. There you go.
See, I knew something you didn't.
Okay.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
All right. So you're a C&E Christian, but you probably wouldn't call yourself a Christian.
I'd say I'm a Christian.
But so you go to church still on Christmas and Easter.
Right.
Tell me what's the celebration of Christmas about?
The birth of Jesus Christ.
And who is Jesus Christ?
Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
What's Easter about?
Easter is the resurrection of Christ.
And what is that about?
That's about when he died on the cross and then came back.
Huh. What was the point of that?
It was a symbol that Jesus died for all of our sins.
And you go to church twice a year?
Twice a year.
Okay, I have to confess to you, Matt, you're kind of surprising me a little bit.
Okay.
Right? Because I've talked to a number of students out here that like go to church all the time, and they didn't know what you just explained to me. Can you help me understand how you understand these things?
I mean, even though we're seasonal people, we go on the big holidays, I don't think you have to go to church to be a Christian. It's not where you are, but it's about what you celebrate and what you know and your beliefs about it. And it's not so much about, like I said, going to church and all that. So I mean, you just got to do your research, I guess.
All right. So I'm gonna make a guess about you and your worldview. I suspect, I'm not sure, but we're gonna confirm this. I suspect you are a postmodern. Do you know what that means?
No.
Historically, there's been predominant mindsets, and I'm going to take it from the year zero to today, all right? From about the, this is rough history, but from the year zero to give or take the 1400s, that was called the pre-modern era. People basically believed God exists, the Bible tells me what I'm supposed to do, that's the end of it. No questioning, I believe in God, he gives me my marching orders. Truth is determined by God. But then some historical events happen, one of which was the Renaissance, The other was the Protestant Reformation, a questioning of the Roman Catholic Church and the questioning of, does God even exist? What is real? And they started going through all sorts of wranglings over it, which gave man permission to question God. And we entered into what we call the modern era. It's also the era of reason, the age of reason, or the age of empiricism, where basically science is what helps us to determine what is true and what is real. And that era lasted for give or take 400 or 500 years, because it seemed to be working. Human beings were flourishing like nobody's business. We had the Industrial Revolution. Quality of life was improving. Lifespans were increasing. We seemed to think that we human beings had the answers, not God, people. Mm-hmm. But then the 20th century hit us like a frying pan to the face. Yeah. World Wars I and II, bloodiest century in human history. And philosophers started to question, maybe we don't know everything. And maybe truth isn't even knowable. And we entered into the postmodern era, which basically says all truth is valid truth. It's individualized because nobody can know the truth. So what you believe is one thing, what I believe is another. They can completely contradict, but we're both right because truth is ultimately unknowable. It's personal. That's the postmodern era. Premodern, modern, postmodern. Where do you fit in there, Matt?
I like postmodern, like you said.
I figured as much. So if I said, you believe that Jesus was born on Christmas, he rose from the dead, I don't, we're both correct. You'd probably agree with that.
Yeah.
I would like to convert you from not being a postmodern, not even being a modern, but to being a premodern. Will you let me give it a go?
Remind me what premodern is.
Premodern is God determines what is true.
Okay. I see. I think it's a mix of that and postmodern. I like the values that the Bible teaches. I'm a believer in the Bible. I'm a believer in the things that are in the Bible. I think you should act accordingly to it, not just because it says it, but because when you generally follow the teachings that are in it, your life is just better. So for me, when you're running around kind of godless and, you know, living for the weekend and doing all those things where it makes you feel a bit of shame, and then you switch to trying to live with a little bit more integrity and following the rules, if you will, you just seem to live better. That's why I believe, just because, I don't know, it's the experiences that you have that kind of make that up.
But I suspect as a postmodern, you would not say to a Buddhist or a Hindu or a Muslim who rejects your religious system, you wouldn't be willing to say they are wrong, would you?
No.
You're a postmodern.
Okay.
All right. I want to try to bring you back.
Okay.
All right. Matt, do you believe that murder is bad?
Yes.
Why?
Because it's a God thing where it's not really up to you to take someone's life unless it's self-defense.
I believe murder is good, Matt. Okay. Will you tell me I'm wrong?
I'll just ask you to explain.
I think it's a wonderful thing. So I think murdering sprees are terrific. How can you sit here and tell me I'm wrong as a postmodern?
Mainly, it's not worth the argument.
Well, because I'd be a complete knucklehead, but that's not the point.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So murder, you would say, is always wrong, all times, yeah. All cases, no exceptions. Yeah. But you cannot make that claim unless there is a moral law giver. Mm-hmm. If there is not a higher authority, a greater source of truth, of values, justice, who can enforce them, right, then the issue of murder is no longer about right and wrong. It is merely a preference issue. As a postmodern, if you're going to be consistent, man, all you can tell me is you don't prefer murder, but you cannot tell me that murder is always wrong at all times in all places. Postmodernism does not allow you to do that. Therefore, postmodernism is fallacious.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
And I could apply that to virtually anything. Okay. Right? I could believe that this bush is God. And I believe if I run around that thing 7 times while singing about Budweiser, which is actually made by Anheuser-Busch, that I'm going to spend eternity in St. Louis drinking a 12-pack for the rest of eternity. You can't tell me I'm wrong because you're a postmodern.
Okay.
All right. So therefore, congratulations, you've just been converted out of postmodernism.
Okay.
If we can say that there's anything objectively true, that means there's an objective standard of truth. We don't write the rules. God writes the rules. And we know that God exists because we know there are rules. Are you tracking with my intuition here?
Yeah.
All right. So that's pre-modern thinking.
Right.
God determines how we're to live. God determines what is right or wrong. So right. Now it's going to get dicey for you, man. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God?
I believe that he is the Son of God. He's the mortal version of God.
We'll say the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three persons, one God. That's the Trinity, correct? All right. So Jesus Christ, you believe, is God in the flesh. He was born, give or take, 2,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that he died on a cross and rose from the dead?
Yes.
That means, therefore, that statement is either true or false. Mm-hmm. It's not Matt's preference. Matt's either right or wrong. It's not just your belief. It's either true or it's not. So the Hindu, in your opinion, would be...
What do you mean?
Well, a Hindu doesn't believe that Jesus Christ lived, died on the cross, and rose from the dead. Okay. So the Hindu would be...
Wrong. The Hindu would be wrong. I'm willing to say it. Todd's willing to say it. But will Matthew be willing to say another system of religion is wrong? Well, hang tight. We'll find out next. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
Your son asked to use your cell phone yesterday, and for just a split second, your heart stopped. And it wasn't because of what you thought he might find. You're careful about that, but because of what you knew he wouldn't find. Evidence of a man actually living for Christ. See, our kids don't care about our Sunday morning Christianity. They watch us when we think no one's looking. They notice when Dad disappears into his office and locks the door. What if your son could actually see a father who's genuinely free? A dad whose private life matches up with his public faith. That's not a fantasy, it's an actual reality, because men experience that transformation every day when they stop trying to manage their sin and let Christ kill it instead. Todd Friel's Play the Man shows you exactly how that works. There's no gimmicks, there's no quick fixes. It's just full of biblical truth about how God transforms men. Play the Man by Todd Friel. It's available right now as an audiobook, an ebook, and video series only at fortisplus.org. Hey, look, some battles, they're just too important to lose.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California, beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Let me ask you something. How much time did you spend on your phone yesterday? Don't answer that out loud. It's probably pretty embarrassing for the both of us. But here's the thing. You're going to be on that thing anyway, right? So why not use some of that time for something that actually matters? The Fortis Plus app. That's right. It is packed with content that'll change how you think, how you lead, and how you live. Hundreds of hours of teaching from voices you can trust. Marriage advice that actually works. Parenting wisdom rooted in scripture and theology that connects your mind to your life. And get this, it's all free, completely free. No subscription, no hidden fees, just solid biblical content available whenever you want it. Plus, we're adding stuff every day, including my news feature that'll help you understand what's really happening in our culture through a biblical worldview. That's my intent anyway. Look, the world is trying to disciple you through your phone every day. Why not fight back with truth? Download Fortis Plus right now. It's free, it's powerful, and it's time to take back your screen time and use it for the kingdom. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 70 AD. Titus destroys Jerusalem and the temple.
The separation between Christianity and Judaism deepens, and Christians spread throughout the Roman Empire, spreading the gospel as they go. God uses tragedy to forward his great commission. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The Hindu doesn't believe that Jesus Christ lived, died on the cross, and rose from the dead. Okay. So the Hindu would be
wrong, according to me, I guess.
Well,
according to what I agreed to.
You would say that you could say, I grant you this, you could say their beliefs don't align with mine, and so I think they're wrong. But that is to remove it from the issue of objectively being true or not. So your belief doesn't make it so.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
I agree with that.
So if Jesus Christ really did those things, then anybody who does not believe in him is wrong.
The thing I think is, it's the whole point of believing. You don't, there's, what is there to believe if you could just see it? You know, seeing is not believing. So there's a saying, if you pretend to know it all, or if you say you know it all, you're full of crap, right? So if I tell the Buddhists, like, no, there's for sure, whatever for sure you believe is not true because this is what happened. I'm full of crap because I don't know for sure because I believe. But I believe what I believe, and you're not going to pull me out of it. That's why I let you believe what you want to believe, if that makes sense.
Let me see if you dig this response or not. Is that statement true?
No.
Okay, so then why are you believing it? Is everything you just said right?
Well, believing doesn't mean facts.
That's true. I agree with you, which is why I'm not a postmodern.
Yeah.
Because mere belief doesn't make the object of my faith so. The object of my faith either exists or it does not.
Right.
So here's my challenge for you then today as we sit on the bench here at Kennesaw State. Your religion, your faith, your system is either right or it's wrong. Am I correct?
Yes.
So if it's wrong, Matt, wouldn't you want to know that? If it's right, don't you want to know that what you believe is so?
Yeah, but like I said, that's the point of believing. There's no, if there was something to know, then there would be no reason to believe.
I don't know that that is a verifiable statement. All right. I can do both of those things. I can know and believe, because belief is not assenting to a story. It is trusting that what you are told is accurate and true and real. Right. Belief is more than assent. It is about wholeheartedly committing to and confirming that is what I'm staking my life on, right?
Yeah.
So now the question then would be with Christianity, is it a religious system worth staking your life on? Because here's the challenge that I would lay before you. And by the way, I appreciate how smart you are. You're really, seriously, you're a thinker. Jesus said this, I, Jesus, am the definite article, not a, the way, the truth, the life. Nobody comes unto the Father but through me, right? That statement is either right or wrong. It's not just Jesus, not what I believe about it. Did Jesus make that claim, yes or no?
I don't know. Like I said, I mean, I haven't read that part, right? Where he said, you're saying he said this specific thing? I mean, to tell you the truth, I'd have to go back and see what you're looking at. Sure. But
well, it's in the Bible.
Okay.
The address is John 14, verse 6.
Okay.
He made this definitive claim. He didn't say that he's a truth. He didn't say he's seeking truth.
He is the truth.
He's it.
Yeah.
He embodies it.
Right.
He's not finding it, adhering to it. He actually is it.
Yeah.
And he's the only way to be reconciled to God.
Right.
Not Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, believing in Anheuser-Busch back here.
Yeah.
He's it. So now that claim is either true or false. And if Jesus Christ changed time, altered the world, has billions of followers throughout the ages, has been one responsible for a lot of government systems, hospitals, education, music, etc. It's worth determining if that actually was spoken and if it's true or not.
Yeah.
Because if it's true, all of the systems are wrong. And furthermore, it gets a little dicier for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you aren't believing that, then you're not believing him rightly too, and you're not walking in the truth.
Yeah.
So it gets really personal all of a sudden.
Right.
So how do you think, what would it take for you to be persuaded Jesus said that and it's true?
Like I said, it's not the point. You know, like if I told you there was a sidewalk right there, you would believe me because you see it. But if I told a blind guy there was a sidewalk there, he'd kind of have to take my word for it. And he would know it's there because he's walking on it. But he doesn't know for sure that there's a sidewalk there. He doesn't even know if it ends over there or something. Yeah. He's just got to take my word for it.
That was actually more theologically profound than I think you realize. So let me try to reason with you. All right. I think that there are questions that we human beings ask, rightly so. And I think every philosophy, even economic systems, and certainly religions try to answer. And here's the questions, you've heard them. Where do we come from? Why are we here? How are we supposed to live? What do I do with the shame, the guilt, the purposelessness that I feel? Where am I going when I die? So I would suggest to you that a religious system must answer all five of those, not independently, but coherently.
Yeah.
They can't contradict. They can't fall short. It's got to answer
all.
What
are the questions again?
Where'd I come from?
Yeah.
Why am I here? How am I supposed to live? How do I deal with my foreboding of death? And where am I going when I die?
Yeah.
All right. So if I find the system that coherently answers all five of those questions in a holistic way, my search is done.
Right.
I'm done. If you're looking for the lottery ticket, you know what the lottery ticket numbers are. You start going looking through lottery tickets. Once you find the right one, do you keep looking?
No.
Okay. So if you find the system that explains these five questions, your search for truth is over, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think we can answer those five questions consistently and holistically through the person of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Bible says, here's where you came from, Matt. You were woven together in your mother's womb by God himself. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you know how I know that? Information systems. Ha ha!
Computers, okay.
Okay, this microphone.
Yeah.
Did it happen by itself? No. If I sat here and told you it happened over millions of years, you'd go, you're an idiot. Somebody made it. I don't see the microphone maker. I know there's a microphone maker because I've got a microphone.
Yeah.
Computers, they've got to be programmed. They don't happen by themselves. You're made by God.
Right.
I think that's externally and internally verifiable. It makes sense with what I observe, and it feels right that I'm actually made by God because I'm different than rocks and sidewalks and dogs. Okay. What are you doing here? What's the point? Without God, there is no point. You can make all the money you want, but you're going to die,
right,
and somebody's going to get all your stuff.
Right.
And you're done. You're worm food. It's right. Bleak. It's nihilistic. And that does not settle well with us because we sense there's more to life.
Right.
You are made by God for God, to live for the benevolent being who's all powerful and almighty. And that means when you get a job in information systems, you're not just doing computer stuff and teaching people. You're actually working for God by helping his other children get smarter. So you're serving God. Okay, so there's those two answered. How are you supposed to live? Well, you can make up the rules or you can ask yourself the question, has God spoken? And I think the answer is yes. How do I know? Because you and I are speaking, and I don't think the creation would be greater than the creator. So God is a communicative God, and he's spoken to us through a book called the Bible. Now you got to dig into it and see if it's accurate and verifiable, but for the sake of this conversation, let's just say your rule book for living is God's rules, the Bible. We can dive into that later if you choose. But then this whole issue about that nagging feeling. Now, I don't care to know the details of your life, but you intimated that living a Christian system is better because you don't have those feelings of doing things on the weekend that maybe cause guilt. Christianity deals with the guilt and shame problem.
Yeah.
Jesus takes your guilt and shame. You can't make yourself right. You need intervention. God came to earth to live the perfect life you couldn't, to be beaten and bruised and crucified on your behalf, taking the wrath of God on himself so that you, Matt, could be forgiven and you could have a cleansed conscience, which means when you die, you're going to go to be with your maker, not judged by your maker and cast into hell, but you will get to be with him because of what Jesus did. So now these five questions are answered harmoniously. They make sense. That is why I believe that Christianity is true, and I believe that Jesus was telling the truth, because none of these other systems can do all of these things for me.
Right.
Nobody can tell you you're going to be completely forgiven, that God is going to accept you into his kingdom. You can't know that with any other system but Christianity. And that's why when Christ said, I am the way, the truth, nobody comes unto the Father but by me, he was not lying. And that's also, maybe you remember this verse. He said, come unto me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden. He was talking about your sin burden, trying to keep the rules, trying to clean yourself up and be an upstanding citizen.
Yeah.
Come unto me, I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light, because he takes it all away and he grants you forgiveness. And now I have something called purpose. Now I am living for the one who died for me joyfully and happily, because he's the best being in the universe. So that is my case to be made for Jesus telling the truth that he is the way, the truth, the life. So now I want your thoughts on that, because I know you got them.
And we are going to hear Matthew's thoughts, all of them, coming up next as we continue with Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Whoopi Goldberg is in the news. She discovered the hard way that calling federal law enforcement agents violent criminals, well, it takes some backpedaling and a little fancy footwork when the cameras come back from commercial break. Because on The View earlier this week, Goldberg complained that ICE was supposed to be rounding up the worst of the worst, but concluded that the real violent criminals were actually inside the agency itself. Then, as the show came back from a commercial break, suddenly she was scrambling to clarify that she was merely using nuance, which apparently means saying something inflammatory and then pretending you meant something else entirely. Speaking of immigration enforcement doing its job, the State Department just announced it's revoked over 100,000 visas since Trump took office. Turns out when you actually enforce the rules written into law, things actually happen rather quickly. The Supreme Court spent 3.5 hours earlier this week hearing arguments about whether states can keep men out of women's sports, and based on the justices' questions, biological reality might be making a comeback. Justice Alito pressed the ALCU's lawyers on a rather fundamental question: what exactly is the definition of sex? And the response from the attorneys? They don't have a definition for the court and aren't disputing definitions, but somehow they still want to argue there's discrimination on the basis of sex. Chief Justice Roberts joined in, noting that Title IX prohibits discrimination based on sex, so the term must mean something. And that same commitment to protecting women extends to a Senate hearing on the dangers of abortion pills that will happen this week. Senator Bill Cassidy's health committee will examine how chemical abortion drugs not only kill innocent babies, but also put women in serious danger. Recent analysis shows that nearly 11% of women suffer sepsis, infection, hemorrhaging, and other medical conditions after taking mifepristone, significantly higher than the abortion industry admits. In more encouraging news, Bible sales have doubled since 2019 in both the U.S. and the U.K., with American sales hitting a 21-year high at 19 million units. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent revealed this week that between $300 and $600 billion in federal spending, up to 10% of the entire budget, is stolen annually through fraud. And that's not waste or inefficiency, that's actual theft. Finally, Canada's Statistics Department wanted to add a non-binary category to monthly jobs reports, but had to admit defeat when they discovered less than 0.25% of Canadians actually identify that way, too small a population to even track. Reality has an interesting way of showing up in the data, doesn't it? And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content, both of which you could do at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. Leviticus is the guidebook for the priests and Levites as they attend to their duties in the temple.
In Leviticus, we learn that God is holy, sin is serious, and that God requires a sacrifice for atonement. Thankfully, we have complete atonement in the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome back to Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. And we've been eavesdropping on Todd and Matthew. They've been discussing postmodernism. They've been discussing Jesus, the Bible. And Todd has just spent time sharing the gospel with Matthew and making the case for Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. And we've anxiously been sitting on the edge of our seats and awaiting Matthew's thoughts.
So now, I want your thoughts on that, because I know you got them.
Well, I agree with what you're saying, especially the part where it deals with the shame and the guilt. When you try to take all the responsibility for yourself and say, I'm the one that's going to make it happen. You know, I'm the big guy here. I've got all the talent. You're going to fall, and it's going to hurt even worse when you fall down. But you know, when you've got God in your corner and you believe that every time you get knocked down, you're going to come back just because he's there. He's watching over you. You believe in him. You're his creation. You're going to bounce back every time. Just from experience, that's what I believe in. Just when you try to do it on your own, it doesn't work. And when you give it up, it just works better.
Let me see if I can one-up you. I don't know that the Bible promises that when you get knocked down, things are going to get better. It teaches something better. You get knocked down, God is with you, and your bigger problem has been solved. The biggest problem that you and I have in the universe, do you know what it is, Matt? What's the biggest problem that all of these people have on this campus and in the world? Biggest problem, one word.
Biggest problem?
One word.
I don't know. Death?
No.
I don't know. What's their problem? Okay.
God.
Yeah.
God is their biggest problem. God is my biggest problem and your biggest problem, because he's just and he's keeping score. And when we get angry because a murderer gets away with something, God isn't going to let anybody get away with anything. And it's not just murderers, it's liars, it's thieves, it's blasphemers, right. It's adulterers. Everybody will have to give an account. And if we cannot give an account, and if we do not have a way to pay our sin debt, our biggest problem is God, who will cast people. They don't take an escalator. God sends them to hell. By the way, it's a place that he actually has designed and built himself, and he runs it.
Yeah.
Because he is then pouring out justice on people who have sinned against him. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And that's why Jesus' words are really crucial. Mm-hmm. He's it. There is no other. And I know that you live in a society that tells you that postmodernism is the nicer way to think. Here's the nicer way to think. It's better to say to somebody who's outside of Christ, look, friend, you're wrong. But the good news is you can be inside. There's hope for you. He welcomes everybody and anybody. He's the truth. Come in. The doors are open. Come in. That's nicer than just saying, well, nobody's really wrong because it's their system.
I guess the difference there that I would be thinking is, in the Bible, it says respect your neighbor, golden rule, all that stuff. But it also says don't associate with non-believers. So it's not a contradiction, but I don't think you can make people believe what you want to believe.
I agree with you. No, I'm with you.
So I think that's the part where you're respecting your neighbor. You let them believe whatever they want to believe. But then the don't associate with these people. I haven't got
it actually doesn't say don't associate. What you're talking about is Paul's admonition about being unequally yoked. It's 1 Corinthians 6 that you don't get married to somebody who's an unbeliever, because it would be so problematic and it mars the image that marriage is supposed to be presenting. Marriage is a picture of Jesus and the church. So if you get married to an unbeliever, you can't reflect that picture. So get married to a Christian. It doesn't say Jesus in John 17 prayed, I'm not asking you to take my children out of the world, leave them here, but that they would endure the temptations. So we live in the world. I talk to people, I work with people, I'll talk to people, I'll go to restaurants. We live in the world.
Right.
So it's not about associating with them. We're not supposed to respect our neighbor. It actually goes way beyond that. It says, love your neighbor.
Okay.
All right. And this is how it says we're supposed to love them. 1 John 4, in this is love, not that we first loved God, but that God loved us and he gave his son as a sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, that's how you're supposed to love one another. So I should be willing to die for you. That's how much I should be loving you. So now, what does love look like? Does love have the courage to say to somebody, you're wrong, I want to help you know the truth? Or does love let them walk around in darkness?
Right.
Silly illustration. Your neighbor's house is on fire.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm not sure they believe that there's fire. They might not believe me. I've got to let them be. I've got to respect them. No. You go bang on the door. And if they yelled out the window, I don't believe in fire, you'd go, it doesn't. I'm going to rescue you because you're in danger. Okay. Not a great illustration, but you get my point.
Yeah.
Maybe what will help you not feel so conflicted about this is, how we do it is to be loving. We speak truth, even if it could hurt, lovingly. We're not obnoxious about it. We're not arrogant about it. We're not mean about it. We do it lovingly.
Yeah.
But we do need to speak the truth in love. We can't just be loving. We've got to be truthful too. All right.
Right.
So dude, we've talked about a lot. All right. I'll leave you be with your thoughts. And I suspect you'll actually think about this because you're a thinker.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that you understand what Jesus said. That if you don't believe in him for who he is exclusively, he actually says, then you don't believe at all. If you don't believe in the Son as the exclusive way, you don't have the Father. In other words, you're outside of the truth. So I would plead with you this day to determine in your heart, is Jesus Christ really my Lord and Master? Is he really the only way? And submit to it because you believe it's true, or frankly, you might as well reject it because you would be as lost as if you say that you do, but you don't. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
So what's it going to take for you to believe that, do you think?
I don't know. Not much, really. I mean, it's a good point. It's just something to think about, and everybody kind of comes to terms on their own time. But I'm definitely going to think about what you said. You know, I was walking around campus and, you know, just kind of enjoying the day. And then I decided to sit here. I've never sat around here before. This is my fifth year here. I've never sat around here before. So I'm a big believer in, like, okay, the first time I sit here, something like this is going to happen. Like, you know, it definitely, I think about these things, and I'm going to take what you said seriously and really think about it. And
so let me leave you with this. I want to leave one thought kind of rattling in your brain so that this doesn't miss the point. Because sometimes people will present Christianity as, look, you got to believe this or you're going to hell. And that's a fact. But that's to miss the point. The offer that's in front of you today, Matthew, is Jesus Christ himself offering you friendship, offering to be reconciled, because right now he's your biggest problem. Okay? The meek Jesus that everybody thinks walked the earth, when he comes back as a lion to settle the score. And the Bible describes people who suddenly see him returning are going to beg for the mountains to fall on them and crush them rather than face the wrath of the Lamb of God. So that's true. But imagine that that's the same one who died to save you from his wrath. It's the most loving thing that has ever happened for you. So as much as your mom and dad love you, and I trust they do, girlfriend, whatever, it's not even close. It's not even warm. Jesus said something really odd sounding, that you must hate your mother and father. It sounds like so bizarre, because it's like, what? I don't hate my mother and father. What he's saying is, you should love me so much more that it, by comparison, it looks like hatred. And the reason that you should love him so much is because he has loved you so much, and he demonstrated it by dying for you. Not paying off your student debt, paying your sin debt, solving your biggest problem. And he then invites you into a relationship with him. That's the offer. So this isn't a, right before you die, say your prayer so you don't have to go to hell. You've missed out. Maybe God gives you another 60 years. You can know God right now and be in a right relationship with God for the rest of your life and then for all of eternity. So I want to leave Jesus ringing in your ears that he loves you. He died for you. His desire is to save you. come unto him and he will give you complete and total rest. That's the thought I want to leave ringing in your ears today, okay?
Okay.
All right, dude.
Well, I appreciate that.
You've been a real gentleman. I appreciate it.
And that's a thought that should ring in all of our ears. Not because we believe ourselves to be lost, but it is so important for us to constantly preach the gospel, not just to lost people, but to ourselves as well on a daily basis. Hey, look, we're not done yet. We've got more Witness Wednesday coming up. You're listening to Wretched Radio.
So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options. Be a doormat or be a bulldozer. Soft or harsh, passive or angry. But scripture paints a different picture altogether. A man who's strong and gentle, leading with conviction and compassion. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Krotz. It's streaming now on Fortis Plus. It's not macho, nor is it passive, but it's biblically strong and spiritually steady. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Men don't guess at manhood. They learn it from God's Word. Gentleman, exclusively on Fortis Plus. Hey, can I be honest with you for a second? I see a lot of guys just drifting, just going through the motions, working, hanging out, maybe going to church, but not really sure what they're supposed to be doing with their lives. And here's what's crazy. Nobody's giving you real answers. It's just a bunch of cliches about being a man that don't actually help. But I found something that does help. Dr. Adam Tyson has hosted a Fortis Forum, 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart, and it is not what you think. Dr. Tyson does not just tell you to do better. He shows you what the Bible actually says about manhood, real steps you can take, real changes that start in your heart, not just your behavior. That's what we need. Look, if you're tired of drifting and you want some actual direction, this is it. 5 steps that will challenge you to live with real purpose. It's on Fortis Plus. You can watch it whenever you want. Just go check it out right now. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. Just download Fortis Plus wherever you download your apps or go to fortisplus.org. Trust me, it's time to stop drifting and time to start living. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled an incredible team of biblical voices who are equipping believers every day. Dr. John Krotz, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, Libby Glosson, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Andrew Walker, Jason Lyle, Tim Challies, and of course, our very own Todd Friel. And their work has been invaluable in equipping believers because that's our mission. And the beautiful part, when you join us and link arms with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, your faithful giving doesn't just sit there. It multiplies into campus evangelism and biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And speaking of equipping people, make sure you download Fortis Plus. It is completely free if you haven't downloaded it yet, and it is loaded with hundreds of hours of content, with new content added every single day. No cost, no catch, just solid biblical truth. Look, the fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership make it possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
25 years. That's a quarter century of standing firm for biblical truth.
This is Wretched Radio.
Through every cultural shift, every challenge, every opportunity to proclaim God's truth, you've been with us. And for that, we're grateful. But none of this would be possible without faithful partners like you. Join us at fortisinstitute.org as we continue this journey together for 25 more years of faithful service.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
Hermeneutics. The Bible is not a manual. While it should be read literally, the books fit into a variety of genres, including narrative, poetry, prophecy, and epistle. How we understand and apply Scripture begins with identifying what genre we are reading. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome to Rap Talk. I'm P. Diddy, and this is Joseph. How do you do, Joseph? We're just sitting here, two guys talking about the rap music, right?
I'm good. How are you?
I have no idea what it is that you're listening to. Who is the fellow that you're listening to?
Playboi Carti.
And this, the Playboy Cardi had a cross on. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I noticed that.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is?
I say, like, me personally, like, I believe in God and everything, but he's like, he's a rapper, but he bases images off like the metal music and stuff. So like, he goes after like what they're doing with how metal used to operate back in the 90s and everything. So that he's like a punk, like he turned himself into like a punk rapper. So yeah, that's probably where the cross comes from.
So you said you're a religious person.
I'm not. I'll say I believe in God, but I wouldn't say I'm too much of a religious person.
What do you think God is, Joseph?
God is the savior of the world, of mankind. He's our father.
So you must be a Christian.
Yeah, I'm a Christian. All right.
So you can tell me then what Easter is.
Easter is the last day Jesus risen on after the 3-day resurrection, right?
Okay, so Joseph, what was the point of that? Why did that event happen?
Because Jesus died on the cross for our sins.
So that would suggest that you and I are sinners. Is that true?
I think everybody's a sinner. Everybody's a sinner in their own way. Like, I don't think one sin is greater than the other sin. All sins equal each other out.
So I'm sitting next to a sinner, is what I just learned.
You can say that.
So, Joseph, if you're a sinner, when you die, where do you think you're going?
I feel like God knows everybody's sin, so he's giving everybody a chance to make that up. So I say if you don't change your ways, you probably go to hell. But if you do end up changing your ways and like confessing your sins to God, he'll give you another chance.
Give me a chance to make up for the bad I did.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so wait a second. I'm a little confused. You just told me that Easter is the day that Jesus rose from the dead because he died for our sins. Who then paid for my sins? Jesus, or do I pay myself by making up for the bad things that I've done?
You pay yourself, because Jesus is not here to pay nobody else. But so he had died for the sins, so he gave us the power. Okay, I did this for y'all, so y'all can live in this world and play the full cast like he is. Peacefully, so he gave us the power to say, okay, y'all can do what y'all want to do, but look, I'm always gonna be here in your mind and around.
All right, can I just explore that with you for a second? Because I'm just trying to think through. All right, I know myself, and I know that I've done a lot of bad things. Right, so how much good do I need to do to clean up for my bad?
That's probably you probably have to be the judge of that yourself, because you know, I don't think there's no limit to how much good you can do in the world.
All right, let's imagine for a second a criminal is in a courtroom and the judge knows that the criminal is guilty. The judge must sentence the criminal for his crimes, correct?
Mm-hmm.
But if the criminal can say, but judge, I'll tell you what, I've washed a lot of people's windows. I've been nice to people. I play with children and I visit my grandmother. Sometimes I actually give some money away. The judge would say, that's nice that you did that, but that has nothing to do with your crimes. You're a guilty criminal. You must go to jail despite your good deeds. Isn't that an accurate understanding of how justice works?
Mm-hmm.
So Joseph, wouldn't the same thing be true with God? If we've broken God's laws, our good deeds can't make up for our bad deeds, correct?
I feel like that's different because God, like, he's there for always to be forgiven and everything else in the world. He's there to, like, forgive you no matter what you do. I think judges, they're, like, they're supposed to show no remorse when it comes to cases. Like, they have to come without, they have to show no emotion and just do everything like by the court of law. God is like our father. Like, he forgives and I don't know if he forgives, but he forgives you for what you've done, like any parent will do.
Joseph, let me just see if we can connect some dots here for a second, because this might be really life-changing for you. You said that Jesus died for our sins on the one hand, and then on the other hand, you're saying we got to kind of clean up our act and perhaps God will forgive us. How's about this? You can't clean yourself up. You're dirty. You're a criminal in the eyes of God. You've broken his laws. You deserve his death sentence. But Jesus Christ, God's son, steps into the courtroom and says, I love Joseph, and I paid the penalty that Joseph deserves. I took the punishment on his behalf. The judge can receive that payment on your behalf and dismiss your case because of the payment that Jesus Christ made for Joseph. That's called good news. Not that Joseph deserves to be forgiven. Joseph is a criminal, but Jesus, God himself in human form, lived a perfect life, died on a cross, rose from the dead, taking the punishment of God upon himself by dying on your behalf so that your court case can be dismissed. So if you give Jesus your rap sheet, he'll give you his resume. If you throw yourself on the mercy of the court because of what Jesus Christ did for you, God can legally dismiss your case, see you as forgiven, and you are free to go. Not because you've done good, but because Jesus died for you and paid your debt. That's what Easter is about, Joseph. And that's better than us trying to get ourselves cleaned up, because I don't have a chance. I don't know. You know, I've lied like 800 times. What do I do to make up for that? I've lusted too many times. I dishonor my parents. I can't go back and clean up the mess. But Jesus cleans up our mess by receiving the punishment we deserve so that we can be forgiven, adopted into God's family. And then one day when we stand before him, he's not going to say, you're a guilty criminal. Go to your place, which is hell. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you because of what Jesus Christ did on your behalf. He will say, well done, good and faithful servant, not because of what you've done, but because you've put your trust in Jesus. Okay, Joseph, that's good news. That's way better than cleaning yourself up. So here's my question for you. Is that true? Is everything that I just said true?
I believe so. Yeah, I believe Jesus did die on the cross to pay our debt so we can live, so we can do this right now. That's what I believe.
True, so that we could do this, but so that more importantly, we can be forgiven. That's why he died on a cross. He was paying your sin debt, because the Bible says God so loves the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. But we've got to believe in him rightly, Joseph. We've got to believe that he's the perfect son of God. We've got to believe that we are very imperfect and that we deserve God's wrath. But Jesus died for us while we were sinning. And if we trust in him for that forgiveness, then our court case is dismissed. We're adopted into God's family. When we die, we get to go to be with the God because of what Jesus did for us. Do you believe that?
I do. I believe it.
So what God wants you to do is just surrender to him. Lay it down. Stop with the, I'm going to try to clean myself up. I'm going to try to do good. No, admit I'm bad. I deserve God's wrath, but Jesus is good and he died to save me, which means he loves me. And then you run to your Savior, putting your trust in him. That's what it means to be born again. And it's radical because it changes the direction of your life. And your motivation now is completely different. You don't try to be good to get in God's good graces. You try to be good because Jesus brought you into God's good graces. Okay? So today, the Bible says, is the day of salvation. If you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Die to yourself. Stop being a self-righteous person and start believing in the one who died to save you because you're not. That is the offer that is in front of you today, Joseph. And God desires for you to get saved today. Now, that means you can go into business. You can get into the clothing business like you want to. Doesn't change those things, but it it colors life now. It all makes sense. Your God made you. He died to save you. Now you go about the business of living for him. So, Joseph, today's the day of salvation for you. I hope that you will take advantage of the offer that God has for you today. Fair enough?
Mm-hmm. That's fair enough.
Will you really think about these things today?
Yeah, I'm thinking about it right now.
Let's all be praying for Joseph. And what a good day today here on Wretched Radio. Such good conversations today. They're all always good conversations, but today they were really, really good. Let's all be in prayer for Matthew and Joseph both. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.